Hi, I'm Rob Moshine from Austin, Texas. I love to write and blog about wine at my website, www.austinwineguy.com, and I am the Austin Wine Guy, and proud to be also one of the wine buffs, and you can find more at my website or at todaysbordeaux.com.
You're listening to iWine Radio. Welcome to Wine and Dine Radio. I'm Lynn Crelo-Chamberlain.
Hi there, this is Andreas Larson.
Hi, this is John Capon.
My name is Mathur Jaffrey.
Hi, my name is Heike Platter. I'm from the Alto Adige region, or Südtirol.
Hi, my name is Paul Dolan. I am absolutely passionate about growing organic and biodynamic fruit for our wines.
Hello, my name is Lorena Garcia.
Hello, my name is Fritz Maytag.
This is Joyce Bach. I'm the author of Foodie Fight.
Hi, this is Lydia Mandavi, founder of 29 Cosmetics.
Cheers, this is Rob Barnett, CEO and founder of VinVillage.com, where wine lovers connect.
Today we're starting the first half of Wine and Dine talking about Bordeaux wines. And I don't want to be cliche about it. We are going into the fourth quarter here, and not only do Bordeaux wines make fantastic holiday pairings, but instead of your New World Merlots, Cabernets, Sauvignon Blancs, and any dessert wine for that matter, Bordeaux can easily fit the bill with a totally different flavor and even aroma profile and weight in your mouth experience that you might find extremely interesting and a welcome change. And joining us to begin the hour this week is Rob Moshine, who I want to give you a little bit of background on him because he has a very interesting career. He was born in Beverly Hills, and while he was working on his bachelor's in economics from UCLA, he studied at Pembroke College and Cambridge University, where he was introduced to first growth Bordeaux and Grand Cru Burgundies. When he was done with that degree, he went to Southwestern University and graduated at the top of his class with a degree in law, and worked in a legal practice in LA for many, many years before moving to Austin, Texas, of all places. I don't know what brought him from L.A. to Austin, but he'll probably tell us that since I'm prompting this. But today he's joining us because he is working with the Bordeaux Wine Council as one of their, quote-unquote, Le Wine Buffs. And there's a really cool campaign that is, this is the second or third year, but 100 wines that are $35 and under. And we will have links up to enjoybordeaux.com as well as Rob's website. His acronym is Austin Wine Guy, the Austin Wine Guy. And I want to, before I bring up the mic and let him talk, he's probably dying that I haven't brought up the mic yet. I want to read a quote that he has at the bottom of his emails that he sends out, what I think is really cool. I love this. Just the thought of this is exciting to me. This is by Gerald Hamilton from The Way It Was With Me. Can you imagine this? When I was young and living in Paris, champagne was relatively inexpensive, so I used to drink a half bottle in the morning and another half bottle at 6 in the evening. I found it did me a world of good. And oh my gosh, Rob, to have that opportunity in life. But when you were attending Pembroke College, the price of wines was a lot better than it is now, but you were a college student, so you were probably broke, right?
Yes, I was, but it was much more affordable. Luckily for me, at Pembroke, they had the largest wine cellar in Cambridge at the time, 35,000 bottles going back literally 200 years, and it was free. All I had to do was sign up.
It was free? It was free?
Every Friday night, the master of college would hold a wine tasting in his rooms, and it was really his excuse to go down and raid the cellar and open some cool things and try the wine. It was free to students. All you had to do was sign up on Wednesday, and so you knew how many bottles to pull. And dinner was Friday night, and you had to attend, and it was coat and tie, and it looked just like Harry Potter without floating candles or owls, but otherwise it really was a big Gothic room with the huge portraits and stone walls and all of that. And then we'd go up to his cozy little rooms, and yes, I remember the first wine he opened when I was 19 years old, and it was legal to drink in England then at 19, and it was Batard Marichet, and I thought, oh, Batard, bastard, ha, 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 you know, very funny.
Yeah, yeah.
And then realized, oh, 1968, Grand Cru Batard Marichet, it was an aha moment for wine for me, and it just stuck with me the rest of my life. So I thought the first Friday was so cool, I went every Friday while I was there.
Oh,
but
my
yeah, wine,
gosh.
Wine was much more affordable. I mean, I'd love to tell the yeah. story that I couldn't afford a case of the 82 Lafite Rothschild on release because it was expensive. It was $59 a bottle.
Oh, wow.
So I had to settle for a case of the Lynchbage because that was only $20 a bottle.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So so tell me, how did you get involved with the Bordeaux Wine Council as being one of their wine buffs?
Well, the program actually is in its third year now.
Okay.
You weren't sure. We are now in our third year.
Okay.
I was approached before they kicked off the campaign 3 years ago by someone who had been a follower of my blogs and had been in contact with them. They were trying to find people for the campaign, and he said, would you be interested? And I was like, sure, why not? And I got on the phone with the people in New York who were handling the CIDV, the Bordeaux Wine Council account for the Today's Bordeaux program, and here I am 3 years later loving it. It's just really been a lot of fun.
When I talked to Megan Wigg, she said that the $35 and under was kind of geared towards the millennial generation. And I mean, I'm a baby boomer generation. I'm not millennial. And I would assume that you're baby boomer generation. So should we take that with a grain of salt that it's really for anybody and everybody who is not familiar with Bordeaux and is just learning, or in fact, you just want to learn more about Bordeaux?
Well, it's both, really. The point is that Bordeaux had discovered, and I think it was correct about 3-4 years ago, that the perception in the United States of Bordeaux was that it was strictly for old rich people to drink at their country clubs, and nobody could afford it, and really nobody understood it. And if you weren't, you know, a wealthy 75-year-old with deep pockets and a big cellar, nobody drank it.
Okay.
And that's just simply not true. And so the campaign has been really trying to introduce Bordeaux to anyone who would be interested in drinking Cabernet or Merlot or Sauvignon Blanc.
Yes.
As you said before, I love to tell people, if you're willing to spend $25, $30, $35 for California Cab or Merlot, you know, or $15 or $20 for Sauvignon Blanc from California, absolutely give Bordeaux a try. It's the same thing, only different. You know, you're exploring, which really the heritage of the California wine industry, if you
yes.
look at it historically, of course.
Yes, yes.
That all the Bordeaux varietals were originally brought to California in the 19th century.
When I have mentioned that exact same sort of approach to people, without exception, everyone is blown away by how wonderful the Bordeaux wines are because they're lighter. They're generally speaking across the board lower in alcohol, so you don't feel you don't get as you don't get trashed, and you don't feel so heavy, and they go better with food rather than just a wild wine that you have when you're like a cocktail before dinner. They go better with food because they're lighter and better acidity.
Well, and they're designed to go with food. Let's be honest. The French have really just considered wine as a food group for, you know, 600-800 years, and Bordeaux's been doing wine for 1,000 years. Like I tell people when I teach classes, they've kind of figured it out by now. Yes, absolutely. California wines tend to be a little, I call them Johnny One Note. They're very fruit-forward. They're very heavy. They're difficult to pair with food. and they're really not pleasant to drink a lot of, in my personal opinion. I mean, there are certain exceptions, of course, and I'm just making some vague generalizations here.
Yes.
But Bordeaux wines, they are elegant, they're lighter, they are designed to go with food, and they're very satisfying to most consumers when they finally step up and give them a try.
So were you also tasting this? As I understand, there were like 236 different Bordeaux wines or something for this final 2012 100 wines?
286.
Oh, yes. Oh, whoa, 286 wines.
Yes, we had 2 8-hour days, well, actually a 7-hour day. We had 2 7-hour days with about an hour for lunch to plow through almost 300 wines to whittle them down.
Whoa. Are you happy with the 100 that you're presenting to people?
I am. I am. They're basically all very solid wines. They're well made. They really deliver value for the dollar. You can't judge them as you would, for example, you know, Premier Cru and the really big, you know, elegant, amazing, complex wines that you know we're used to from, you know, 30, 40 years ago. But because it's a different world now, those wines are unaffordable for the average American.
Right.
But there are wonderful small producers who are really doing well-crafted, well-made wines. They really care about what they're doing. And we've also been blessed with two fabulous vintages back-to-back, 2009 and 2010. And you can't go wrong with wine from either of those vintages in Bordeaux.
I'm so excited about this conversation this week on Bordeaux because people can do some serious planning with their upcoming holiday parties and family gatherings and that sort of thing. I mean, don't let the French on the label bother you because even the labels have changed so much that the average American can read it. Well, I would like to say, Rob Moshine, it's been really our pleasure meeting you this week on Wine and Dine. Thank you for your time.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
iWine Radio is a production of Food Tastes Better with Wine on the web at iWineRadio.com.